Welcome to Soul Busy. I'm Rach.
And I'm Carly,
your CEO
and COO
sisters. We share unfiltered convo on balancing hustle with mindfulness
while running successful businesses with soul
and the real life between it all.
Good morning, y'all.
Good day. It's actually afternoon.
Is it? No, it's not.
What time is it?
It's 10:30. Oh, so it's you're wrong.
Morning.
You're wrong.
Carly lives to tell me I'm wrong.
Yeah, I think it's like fun to be right. What the hell is wrong with that?
I don't know. Just like your ego. So we have Lorne here today.
Lorne.
Hey.
Hey. So we have an interesting episode today.
I think I'm scared.
Lorne, our marketing manager, and Sarah, our entire salon and spa manager, to gather their heads together and write blind questions. And they're going to ask us questions. Well, not they. Sarah is here in spirit, and Lorne is going to ask the questions. We have no idea what they are, and we're going to just answer them live. We're going to do it live.
They're in a chaotic order, so they're just going to be random.
Chaos is welcome here.
I feel like it is, yeah.
Thrive in chaos. Let's go.
Just to start off, what was your fave look at the Met Gala?
I did not watch the Met Gala.
Oh, Sophia Richie.
Not watching.
Sophia Richie.
Definitely seen it on Insta. You've even seen one look.
Sophia Richie.
I'm Rihanna.
Answering the question.
Okay. I appreciate your answer. Thank you. I agree.
Rihanna looked awful.
Really?
Are you guys serious?
You didn't like it? I liked it.
Her suit?
Yeah, I thought it was cool. It definitely like matched the theme. The theme was
tailored.
I was
a little underwhelmed by Hailey and Kendall's looks, though. They were wearing like blazers.
It's giving librarian.
Blazer dresses.
I am going to give an unpopular opinion.
I don't watch it.
I don't give a fuck.
Okay.
About the Met Gala. I don't give a fuck about what they wore. I'm actually like very not allured by these celebrities. I think it's obviously great. Nina actually texted me in the middle of the Met Gala.
And you've talked about her like four times in this.
She's been texting me a lot. We're friends. You know, she's my friend from high school. She texted me. She's like, so are you watching the Met Gala? I said, Nina, I have two naked wildebeest children who are currently dancing to Frozen Into the Unknown with a lion eating string cheese and jumping on my head. I was like, I'm actually not watching the Met Gala. Do you know what I mean?
Did she watch?
She was like, okay, all right, perfect. I was just curious what looks you liked.
I openly didn't watch, but I was
so fucking cute.
I was definitely lurking on Insta.
I feel like you're a social media person. You have to be.
Yeah, you have no choice.
What's the first thing that you both do every morning?
You first.
I move my dog Ollie to like be nose and nose with me so I can smell his breath and like lick his entire nose. That's honestly true. I'm not lying.
To be honest with you, I would probably have a similar answer because literally I don't have a choice, but the second Harry smells movement in me, his mouth, his tongue is so deep in my throat that like I can't.
I like weirdly like the smell of Ollie's nose and I need to smell it.
I understand that.
Like it's disgusting.
Like his snout.
I just want to breathe his breath. Like I want to breathe
his
air.
He's your child.
Got it.
Like I want him to be like physically as close to as possible. He hates it, but I don't care.
Harry's just seriously like, I've never seen a dog kiss the way Harry kisses.
Yeah. Harry's breath is terrible though. So
his tongue goes so deep into my throat. Like I can't. It's insane.
You both sleep with the dogs in your bed.
Yeah, but Ollie specifically has a pillow next to me and Joe's head. And it's like, we like clean the pillow and we're like, we have to get Ollie's pillow ready. And we put the pillow right next to us.
Like you guys
king.
Say.
That's like king behavior for sure.
Got to get Ollie's pillow ready.
Yeah, you should actually talk to Joe about it.
As far as Harry is concerned, he just thinks that my bed is his. So, you know,
I mean, yeah,
he's just fully like in the center of Mike and I. And if like Mike and I try to go near each other, he's like extremely territorial and very upset about it.
Got it. What app on your phone do you guys use the most?
Shopify.
I feel like I know this.
No, that's bullshit. It's Instagram for me.
I like TikTok.
Actually, it's funny you asked that question because the other day I was like looking at my phone, like time.
Oh, that's on the list.
And it.
What's your screen time?
My screen time's insane.
I want to know.
It's like 15 hours a day.
Don't know.
What?
How do you know?
You go to settings and then it should be like in the first section.
My daily average is 10 hours and 45 minutes.
Wait, how do I see it?
And you want to know my most used app?
How did
app?
You see it?
Settings, and then it should be like in the top section.
My most go used down. App is text messages.
Search at the top.
Oh, I have it.
Text messages, then Instagram.
Oh, wow, yours is more than mine. 6 hours and 11 minutes.
Yeah. I'm always, well, I mean, like, I'm texting Lily's teacher. I'm texting everyone here. You know, there's a lot of text to text. We're texting.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
But definitely, I check Instagram before I check TikTok. And honestly, I wish I didn't.
I'm actually not as much into TikTok these days.
All right.
Which is super sad.
If I'm bored and, like, don't want to watch TV, I'll watch TikTok. But I'm not just, like, well, I'm a scroller.
I try to get to the point in my day where I'm able to lay in bed and do TikTok. But to be honest with you, recently.
To do TikTok.
But, like, I'm at this point where, like, the girls have been going to sleep so late that, like, I fall asleep in Lily's bed during her bedtime routine. And almost 8 out of 10 nights, well, there's not 8 nights in the week, but 8 out of 10 times, I fall asleep in her bed and wake up to Mike pulling me into our bed, and then I essentially just go back to sleep. So I don't really have a night
anymore. I've been meeting with a nutritionist, and one thing that she made me do was, like, write 15 things I do, like, besides, like, eating and or, like, being on your phone.
Sex.
Ew. And, like, since I've been taking up, like, all those things, like, that you can do besides being on your phone or, like, eating, it's fills up your day more, so you're not on your phone as much, which I honestly was a goal of mine for the year. I feel like I could always just easily be on my phone as much as possible.
Well, that rolls into the next question. What's the last thing that you guys do before you go to bed?
I honestly watch TV.
TV.
You really talk to Mike.
Yeah.
For a little bit.
A little quality time. Not home.
I wouldn't necessarily say, it's not necessarily quality time. It's just more like the only minutes we have.
They're like a talkative couple.
We just have things to catch up on. Like, who's picking Willie up tomorrow? Or, like, what does the morning look like tomorrow? Or, like, we have to plan because we both work for ourselves. So it's like, we got to coordinate. There's lots to discuss. And we always have to be on to the next day. So that there's always, like, a little discussion that happens before bed.
Pillow talk.
Pillow talk, yeah. Oh, yeah, I guess pillow talk.
That's cute. I always have to fall asleep to TV. It's my thing.
I see, I can't even turn my TV on.
Oh, my God, I love TV. Love it.
What's your go-to show then? Like, when you fall asleep. 100. When you fall asleep, is there, like, Sex and the City? Is that
playing? Always, like, this is, like, really sick. I always like to have a series that I'm watching. So, like, there has to be something that has, like, multiple episodes and multiple seasons. So that's number one.
I aspire to that.
Then I catch up on, like, all the shows that I watch. Like, Handmaid's Tale, I love. Love some Bravo TV, but I only watch, like, a couple shows on there.
Does that not give you, like,
weird dreams? I love Outer Banks. No. Love it.
I feel like you guys are so different in that realm.
Do you dream about
that? I've always loved TV. I'm like, me and Sadie love TV. Tell the truth.
Lily loves TV more.
No, Sadie loves TV more. When I watch Lily and Sadie could sit there twirling her hair with a popsicle.
You want to know something really cute? I don't know if you've noticed this, but Lily loves YouTube.
And that's terrible.
She, for some reason, cannot remember the name of YouTube. So she calls it the Silly Show.
No, channel. She says YouTube.
Sometimes she does, but most of the time she goes, give me the Silly Show channel. And honestly, I have to say YouTube with kids is like no fucking joke, because if you're not watching, because it automatically goes to the next thing. I hate the dumb shit that plays. Like, there's a show called Ellie Sparkles.
She loves the,
hate Ellie Sparkles. That. Oh my God.
The thing about YouTube is annoying is the ads. You have to, like, pay to not have the ads.
Actually, no, I've recently learned that there's a kids section of YouTube that doesn't have ads.
No, yes, it does. No.
Like, you could put on parental controls.
They're not allowed to advertise to children. So there's a section, like, if you log into the children section, YouTube Kids, it has no ads.
Cool.
It's like a hack, but it's a super weird
YouTube hack.
But, like, the last thing I do, like, final thing before bed is I do check my email one last time. I check my text one last time, and I check, like, my Instagram one last time. And then I'll really, like, shut the, the final thing I do before bed is make sure my Nanit is on and double check that the sound is on. Cause I have extreme anxiety if I don't check that the girls are good before bed.
I hate that thing sometimes.
It's very stress inducing during your sleep if you don't, like, really make sure that they're good.
Yeah.
You know?
How did you guys both meet your husbands?
Carly? You go first.
Oh, Rach first.
I'll go first. So I went to summer camp, all girls camp. And Mike went to the same version of camp that's all boys. Mm-hmm. And there was an event. It's actually called the Israeli Scouts event.
I love the Israeli Scouts.
Love the Israeli Scouts. I was going to Hofstra in the fall after camp. I was a counselor, and he was a counselor, but he was 2 years older than me, and he was at Hofstra. And our friend Justin Lukoff knew that I was going to Hofstra and knew that Mike was already there and said, you two should meet. And so we met. And
I wonder why he thought.
Because we were both going to the same college.
Oh.
That was literally the only
reason. I thought he was saying, like, he thought like you guys like should each
know.
Other.
No, he's just like, you guys should know each other because you're going to be at the same school.
God, I hated the college chat.
And so
You going here?
Well, so then he invited me to a party at his camp. And we all went, like all the girl counselors, like we went and they were like smoking the bong and like doing all these things. And I was like, oh, he's naughty. And like he's
naughty.
Yeah. And we made out in the parking lot. And
I wish I was there.
And like, I was watching. Like, no, I don't like him. And I remember I would text him on my little Samsung flip phone. And I would always get butterflies when he would text me. I don't know why. But then we both went to school. And I was, like, you know, a virgin in college. And, like,
With braces.
Like, very inexperienced. And, like, low-key, just, like, I had not experienced the world at all. So I, like, wasn't – I don't think he wanted to be my boyfriend. But, like, we would see each other at the bars. And he was definitely, like, down. But I kind of, like, wasn't down. But then there were some random nights at the bars where, like, we'd leave together and, like, make out in my dorm. And like then I'd be like, okay, no, now I'm not answering your text. So I would like torture him for a long time. I would say there was a 2 year span of time I would torture him.
Why did you do that?
I just like wanted to like, I don't know, be drunk and like I wouldn't.
You didn't want a relationship.
I didn't.
Oh, you're like so hot.
I didn't want a relationship.
So hot. I had a tooth growing out of my nose when I was in college.
I hate when you say tooth growing out of your
nose. I did though.
You did.
Carly, it was literally growing out of right here. Like, what are you talking about? I had five surgeries to get it pulled down. Not at that point.
You just had yellow braces.
Well, yeah, because they were like clear but turning yellow.
I hate the clear braces.
And then.
It's like evil mom didn't get you Invisalign.
And then listen.
You should talk to her about that.
So then Invisalign, I wasn't possible for me. I had to have a jaw. I needed the physical so they could turn my tooth to come down.
Mm.
Yeah. Talk to my orthodontist. So essentially.
He retired.
He's dead. Is he dead? Yeah, I mean, it's highly likely he's dead.
R.I.P.
He was like 80 years old. Like,
I loved him.
He was a great man.
And Pam?
He used to spit
in my mouth. His receptionist, Pam? He used
to spit in my mouth.
What was her
Rest
name?
Rest in peace.
Is
it Pam?
I think it was Pan. It was with an N.
Rachel, what the hell is her name?
We're going to have to ask mom.
Yeah, she'll know.
Peggy. Peggy.
Yeah, Peggy.
It's Peggy.
Good one. She had really big hands.
Yeah, I loved her.
All right, listen. So one day I'm at the gym with my friends and I see Mike in a Red Sox shirt and a hat backwards. And he had all of a sudden gotten very jacked and was like very strong. And I was what happened to this boy that like I was like all right like writing him off, but all of a sudden he like took a turn. He'll tell you about this muscle memory time in his life, his whole life.
Oh, yeah.
Like, okay. He thinks this is why he always has a six pack, because this time he like weightlifted. So he walks by and he's like flexing his muscle, and he's like such a tool. Like he thinks I like don't know he's flexing his muscle, and he's like walking by me.
He just looks like L,
and I'm on the elliptical, and I'm like, okay, like I don't like what you're doing, but like I see your muscles. And then
your hair back.
You know, like
I'm like picturing this interaction
in a Red Sox shirt. And I'm like, wait, did he like get really cute? And like, I think I like his muscles.
Ew.
Then I saw him at the bar, slept over his house, woke up. We watched Jackie Brown. And I remember thinking his bed felt like home. That was like my first thought of Mike. It was a queen with a blue comforter, and he had a really big flat screen TV, and
picked his slay comforter for Mike. School, you think?
I don't know.
Like him?
It was definitely something they like had. I don't think they went shopping for it.
Okay.
I guarantee you it was like an extra duvet.
Oh, cool.
But his bed was super comfortable, and I was just like, I feel comfortable with this person, and I all of a sudden was like, wait, now you're mine. Like, I'm obsessed with you. You are fully mine. And then from that point, we have not separated.
And how long has that been?
We have been together 15 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
15 years.
You're an old hag.
Yeah. All right. And we only ever took like 1 2-day break where I got mad that he hadn't proposed yet. And other than that.
I think it was longer than 2 days.
Maybe three.
And when was that?
Three-day break.
You got mad?
I got mad that he hadn't proposed yet. It was like 8 years. And I was like, could you like propose? Like, what is happening?
Yeah.
And then I got this.
So yeah, that rock.
I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. Slay.
Okay, so
I love this story.
Love this story.
Fuck off. So I studied abroad in Florence, Italy. And it was the fucking best thing that's ever happened to me. And if anyone's listening and their kid wants to study abroad, please let them go, because it's the, like, changed my life. But we like had all these like group of friends, and everyone was kind of scared because we were like living in Italy and no one knew what the fuck they were doing, and we had no cell service. Everyone just like connected to Wi-Fi when we were there. We were like Wi-Fi,
as they call it in Italy.
Literally every like bar or place that you went, restaurant, just like had their Wi-Fi there, and like that's how you could talk to your parents or people back home or whatever.
That's crazy.
It was weird. So I went with my friend Janie, and then we like met up with this other girl who came with us, and she happened to be living with like a group of people who were from URI. And those people from URI like had like a group of guy friends that were coming to meet us. So we like all like met up and like started talking and hanging out. And I saw this like one quiet boy in the corner, and he came like, he was
one target.
They all came to my apartment to pregame. And every night he would wear some version of a polo shirt with different colors. So it would be like, it would be purple with the green horse.
I hate
then it would be polos. Red with the blue horse. And then he had yellow.
That was such a bad era.
Yeah. And I'm like, who is this boy? And what is his mom putting him in? And what the fuck's happening? So like, I started talking to him, and I'm like, where are you from? Or no, he asked me where I'm from. And I was like, oh, I'm from Boston. And he was like, oh, where? I had no idea where he was from, and like, whatever. And he was like, where? And I was like, Framingham, Massachusetts. And he was like, and I was like, and he was like, that's not Boston.
I knew that and was falling.
Like, I was like, okay, where are you from?
We're in Italy, Joseph.
Yeah, so like, what would you like me to say?
Where are you from?
0-1-7-0-1. And he had this like dude, but like you wouldn't expect it because he was so nice. And we already talked about like so many things. And with boys, like, I didn't, like to talk. So, like, I was, like, if I don't like you, like, I'm not telling you my life story. But, like, immediately I was kind of similar. Like, I felt comfortable telling him all these things, and I didn't even know why. And then I, like, loved him ever since the Boston comment. He told me he was from West Roxbury. I've never even been there, and I'm literally from Framingham, Massachusetts. So I didn't even know how far it was
or whatever.
I had never
been to West Roxbury either.
Yeah, I didn't know. So he was, like, actually from Boston. So, like, when he was saying it, then throughout the trip, when like you're meeting people, which you meet people the whole fucking trip, and I'd be like, I'm from Boston. And I'd look at him and be like, what are you going to say?
Yeah,
it was our inside joke. So as we traveled literally the world together, we went to Greece. We went to Croatia. Like we did all of these things. Like I started becoming obsessed with him. He was just like super quiet with everyone, but like talked to me the whole entire time. And my best friend Alyssa was like, what do you like about him? Like what? Like, are you okay? And I was like, no, like, I'm like literally obsessed with him. I don't care what anyone says. Like we talked for hours, and there was no one I talked to for that long. So long story short, we traveled the world together. We were just best friends. I secretly loved him the whole time. If he or she hooked up, me or him hooked up with anybody else, I would hysterically cry the whole time. And
Joe was like, yeah, he or she,
my friends would be like, are you scaring me, Carly? Like, it's a little crazy on your end.
You were crazy.
I was crazy. But like, I knew, like, I was like, I'm going to marry this person.
You told me. And I was like, okay.
I told everyone. I
was crazy
like,
pants.
I told anyone. I was like, I love him. He's for me, whatever. So we left Italy, and I was like, fuck, we're never going to talk again. He went to UMass. I went to University of Hartford. We talked literally every second of every day. Every interest he had, I followed. So he loved Game of Thrones. I would be like, I'm watching Game of Thrones. Like, I watched the whole thing. He started running. I'm like, I'm running. I can run 5 miles. Fucking didn't, but I would lie and say I would.
Yeah, right.
He was very into like history and politics. So I'd like pretend I was like into history and politics. None of those things interest me.
Oh yeah, I love history and politics.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, like I'm following
big history and blah, politics, blah, blah. Girl.
So we talked every single day of every single night. He would FaceTime me drunk. I would FaceTime. It was like college days. So I'd be like, hey, what are you doing? Like drunk. And then finally I was like, I'm over this. This was like a year. I was like, I'm over this. Like, fuck it. So he started talking to this girl that was on our trip that whatever. And yeah, whatever. He started talking to this girl and I got like really scared that like it was over.
Yeah. It was like, the relationship fuck. That yeah. hadn't happened.
The fake relationship that was I was over. Obsessed with was over.
Yes. That would have been very sad.
Yeah. And I was like, listen, like I'm really happy for you, but like I need to tell you, like, I love you. Like I've loved you ever since we've met. Like we're best friends. There's no one else I want to talk to or be with, like blah, blah, blah. Like I was like, you know what? I'm just going to fucking tell him.
Go off.
And that's happened to me in the past where I've told people and they've been like, I don't like you. And I'm like, cool. So I was like really fucking scared. And like, it was, I just graduated college. So it was like, you know, like when you're like leaving college and you're scared to like not have your person. And he was like, you're just my friend. Like basically he didn't know what to say. So I was like, okay.
Cause he's also a turd.
Yeah. I am his first girlfriend. So basically we ended, like I stopped talking to him and like, I didn't talk to him at all. And like, I ignored all his texts and I started working for you. And he texted me every day at 1 o'clock. Hi, just literally two letters, H-I. And I didn't answer for 2 weeks. And I was like, mom, you're telling me he doesn't fucking like me. Like, why is he texting me every day at 1 o'clock? Hi. Like, and he'd be like, well, we're just friends. And like, I miss talking to you. And I'm like, no, like you don't have friends like this at this age. Like it doesn't work like that.
Weird, Joe.
Yeah, fucking bitch. So we, whatever that I started talking to him again. Cause I was
and you
like,
had sex.
No, ew. I was crying in my bed, like for 2 weeks in the dark alone. Like I was really sad. And then he came back and he came to Mike's, surprise birthday party that I invited all my friends from Italy to, who lived around Boston. So he came.
Looking back, that was a weird thing to do.
Very weird. I invited him. And I actually happened to be like really skinny.
Mike really didn't know.
Because I lost like 70 pounds from keto. That was the first time we found keto.
Yeah, we just only ate bacon.
It was disgusting. It was disgusting. Shout out to Andrea Z who taught us that. And then we had like a keto class at her house.
Literally.
And then long story short, that night, like he was holding my hand everywhere. And I was like, this is fucking annoying. Like holding my hand everywhere.
I thought you made out that night.
We did. We had our first.
I remember seeing it. Yeah,
we had our first kiss that night. And it was unlike any kiss I've ever had. Like I was like.
Shit. It was like the
giving
you the tongue.
No, it had nothing to do with that.
Gave you the good tongue.
Actually, fun fact, I don't like tongue. Oh. Yeah, so don't put your tongue. Don't put your tongue.
Just like an empty.
Yeah, just kiss? No, I just don't. I'm not like, don't put your tongue in mine.
You're grossing me out. Yeah, sorry. Right now, but well, like, really think about that.
Anywho. No,
definitely.
Tongue touching. We started dating immediately. He told me he loved me immediately. Therefore, he was wrong. He liked me. And I want to just be very clear. In our wedding letters that we wrote to each other, he finally admitted he liked me that whole time.
You just said,
Joe.
So she was right.
Yeah.
She got her redemption.
Yeah. So if you feel something, say something, bitches. Now he's my husband.
Now he's our motherfucking husband.
Love that
and
for you guys.
I would like to just state he's fucking obsessed with me. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Shout out Joe.
Yeah. Mike's obsessed with me.
And to the story.
All right. Cool. Next question. How would you guys describe your family dynamic? Like, what is it like to be a Reuben sibling?
It's a treat.
I love it. It's my favorite part of my life.
Me too.
Being a Reuben sibling or our family dynamic as a whole, I would say is loud, chaotic, calming, no bullshit, no lying.
Honest.
Yeah. And just very real. Like, no, not mean where, like, anybody has a problem, like, kind of, like, calling each other out, but more in, like, the regard of, like, there's no conversation that's being had that's, like, sugar-coated.
Yeah.
It's always, like, just in the moment. It's fucking real.
No, we're extremely lucky. I mean, I think it's cool to have... I always like waited for that time where we all like similar in age. And I feel like we finally are there in the past couple of years. So our family is literally like, I think that's why we're so lucky and why my friend's circle is a little bit smaller just because I love hanging out with our family.
Your inner circle, if you will.
My inner circle.
Like what's it like with the siblings?
I think because our parents are like they're not parents, but I feel like they act like our siblings.
They're definitely our friends.
Like where it's like, very comfortable to kind of do whatever the hell you want. Like our parents were always like that, where they kind of put the responsibility on us to be like who we are as people.
Well, I think they also put the accountability on us. Like
and
I
gave space for that.
I hate watching parents at any age when they like are overbearing and they don't let the child have the consequences of their action. Like, for example, like, it's cold out, put a jacket on. If I get sick, that's my consequence. Like, yeah. I don't care what you think. So, like, for me, it's just, like, I like that I am in an environment with my parents or my siblings where it's just kind of, like, to each his own.
Yeah, I feel like it allowed us to kind of, like, form our own opinions or form, like, dislikes and likes based on what we thought was perfect for our lives. Like, my mom was never like, you have to go to this college. Like,
yeah. You have to be this career.
Yeah, like, I loved that about them. So I feel like we kind of all hold that, and, like, our parents are basically our friends at this point. So I feel like it feels very comfortable. And I've been in different relationships where I feel like not all parents are like that. Like, it was almost like my parents were weird. Like,
I think they're weird.
Yeah.
And I think as far as our siblings are concerned, like, they're just my friends.
Yeah.
Like, even Jake, like, as far as him being, like, you know, he's mentally challenged, he has cerebral palsy, he's blind, he's, you know, he's doesn't eat, all the things, I still sit on the couch and, like, fully make fun of him.
He is not exempt
trauma and
to the shit that we've been to together, right. So I feel like they're the only people who really understand.
I also think Jake is, like, a really big part of all of that, though.
No,
which,
he is,
which, when you think about it, like, he's just this, like, little fucker sitting on the couch, like, clucking around all day.
I love him.
And, you know, like, I think that most people don't have that little fucker clucking on the couch. And when it comes down to it.
My mom's changing a 28-year-old diaper.
Yeah, like, so. No, literally, we were in the Cape, like, 2 weeks ago, and Jake, like, shit through his diaper, like, outside of his diaper, and mom's like, help me. And I'm, like, running to the other room and, like, helping her change Jake's diaper. And there's, like, shit smeared on his bed. And then he peed in the bed. And then we're, like, changing the bed. We just start breaking out into hysteria, like, laughing. Like we both, like, couldn't breathe. And we're just like, this smells awful. Then we're, like, taking out the trash. And the girls are fucking screaming. And then we're just like, okay, cool. Like, and it's just, it's truly
we're
chaos.
All pretty similar, which is, like, really funny. Like, there's obviously differences, but I'm saying, like, the way we act, I feel like, is pretty similar.
I guess.
I don't know.
I love your family. Your parents are They're amazing. Funny. You guys have an amazing family.
Thank you. People have tried to get in there for a reality show, and I just, like, would never.
Yeah, no.
They've even come from our parents' angle of, like,
it's not the vibe for you guys,
we
ever.
Don't want it. I don't want attention. Leave me the fuck alone.
What's something that your parents would always say to you that now you find yourself saying either to yourself or a rage to your kids?
And what if the worst happens?
That's a good one. That my mom always say to says my that. Kids. I think it's more like a way of being a mother that I do with my children, which is appreciating all of it. Like, my mom is in awe of children. She is constantly in awe. I watch her and I am learning every single day. Like, when I come home from work and she's still there with the girls, there she's not tired, annoyed, done, over it. She's not complaining. She's not overstimulated. She's still on the ground with stickers.
She's an odd woman.
With stickers on her face.
Yeah,
and
it really
she
is.
Like she just constantly teaches me that when a child is bothering you, it's usually you that is trying to force them to do something that's to your agenda. Mm. And I'm not always good at that. Like, I'm not always like, okay, yeah, like, I'm not annoyed or I'm not impatient right now. But I'm reminded constantly that, like, if I'm rushing the bedtime routine and I'm frustrated, it's because I'm rushing the child, and that's going to cause angst for my child and for me.
Mm-hmm. I think it's more like lessons too that I've learned from both of them over time, where it's like my dad, like he has a never give up vibe, like, no matter the consequence, no matter what happens, no matter what you have to do. And my mom's very like, I can get through anything no matter what it is. So, like, they have very similar vibes to each other that I feel like passed on to Rachel and I and our siblings to be, like, able to deal with things that come at us, you know?
Resilience.
Yeah, I definitely think that we took on their resilience.
Yeah, but, like, my mom's the person I call. Like, I talk to her 15 times a day. Sometimes I just call her just to stare at her. No, I'm serious. It's really weird. Like, we're not even talking. She'll be like, okay, bye. And I'm like, she's like, I'm in the tub.
I don't stop calling mom.
Yeah, no, it's, she's actually really good at answering her phone. I'm terrible at it, but she's really good at it. I feel like she used to suck at that.
I feel like when it matters, mom doesn't answer her phone.
It's, I feel, true. Like, that's a trend.
No.
Every other time she answers.
That used to be something funny where, like, she didn't answer her phone, but now I feel like I could FaceTime her and she's always like,
But yeah, she's selfishly now just is wondering where the girls are. So like it's duplicated. So like she's calling me. It's like to see the children, not me. I'm like, she's like, where are my girls? I'm like, am I one of them? Hello. I'm also your girl, bitch.
No, honestly, fuck you. She doesn't care.
I don't think she does.
What does quote unquote having it all mean to both of you?
Having it all to me means leading a life of absolute peace and purpose in conjunction with each other. I personally love to work. I love to lead. I love to see where I can take my career, but I also love to create a family and create a life at home that I love and that's peaceful. I like to be rewarded for the work that I do and acknowledged, and I like that at home too. And I like to be with my family. I enjoy that time. And I think to me, having it all is feeling a sense of peace while also feeling like I have just immense purpose in every aspect of what I do.
Having it all is a weird question. I think you could interpret it like multiple different ways and people would. I think having it all, sometimes I like to look at it like I already have it all. Where it's like, I've always wanted the next, wanting something else, wanting this, wanting that. And I think sometimes that gets me into danger. So I feel
when I get to this point,
sometimes that mindset kind of fucks with me. So having it all for me is not money. It's not fame. It's not like materialistic things. Those are things.
I think they're comfortable.
Yeah. Things. I think having it all is a feeling you feel with the people around you. Like, agreed. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
but the purpose too. Like, yeah. I just think that like for me, like, I agree. I feel like I have it all right now.
Yeah.
And what that means, like, sometimes I look around my life and I'm like, I'm so grateful I still have my mammy, you know, like I'm just so like, I have this moment in time. I still have like the people in my life.
But I'm even saying that when I like, don't, you know what I mean? I don't have it all, but like
change in those times.
I think it's a weird feeling. I don't know what having it all means to me. I hope one day when I look back, I think
what it might mean to you without you realizing you're saying it is gratitude.
Yeah.
Like just gratitude for whatever you have in the moment right now and just like being okay with all of that.
Yeah. Like every day I think I try to find new things where I feel like it, like I am having it all, you know?
Yeah. Even when Dad was in jail, I thought I had it all.
Yeah.
Like I can truly say that. I really did think I had it all.
Because you had a dad.
And I was living.
Well, think about that.
Yeah, no.
You know what I mean?
That's why I'm saying it's gratitude. Yeah. Like, I was living in our parents' basement. I didn't have a bedroom anymore in our home. And some people would be like, I don't even have a place to live anymore. But like, I literally didn't. And I was working out of my garage. And like, I was like, I fucking love my life. I have it all. You know, like, it's a mindset, I think.
I like it when people say like, rich in life. I'm rich in life because I have. Yep. Like, it could be like your dog on a Sunday or like your boyfriend or whatever it is.
I think it's a tough question for me because I believe you can have anything you really do put your mind to. Like, you know what I mean? And that having it all is what makes you feel whole, you know?
Yeah.
Subjective.
Yeah.
Would that be subjective or objective?
I think in having it all though, it's important the partner you choose in life. I say that a lot, but that's important. Like,
I agree.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it just really, really is. It like shapes everything.
Yeah, I agree.
No doubt, because like I'm growing with my partner and I feel like I'm just always.
Well, there's things I want that I need somebody else for too. You know what I mean? So like we can have it all.
I would together possibly not. I'm not going to sound cliche and be like, I always have it all. Like part of my life does feel easier and like I do have it all because I have Mike.
Yeah.
Like he allows me to have peace. He allows me to go have self-care time. He allows me to go take a tubby. Like he runs it for me. Like he thinks of me.
He cares and supports you.
Yeah. And like being able to have vacations. Like those are things that are rewarding to life.
I almost canceled my vacation next week because I was like, I'm guilty. I don't want to leave my kids, like all these things. But then I was like,
no, you deserve
it. No, yeah. I'm going on vacation.
I would literally have 100% punched you. I honestly would have.
You get this like awful guilt that waves over you.
I get it. I mean, they're fucking amazing girls. I don't want to leave them either when I'm watching
them. It's terrible.
And I am not their mom, but I think it's good for them.
Yeah.
Honestly.
No, it is. It is.
Moving to some business questions. What's the biggest misconception people have about building a brand like Sleepy Tie or Parlor or even this podcast?
I'm going to go with money. I think is the biggest misconception people have when it comes to building a business. I've always had...
There are definitely dollar signs on each eye when people look at you.
Dollar signs. Like, First of all, I've always been in a building phase. We've always been building, right? We're still very much so building. So building means investing. That means money's tied up. And I have never, like, taken money from somebody and been like, okay, like, let's, you know, do it this way.
Yeah.
So for me, like, I've always also valued, like, nice cars. That's, like, a thing for me. I like a BMW.
Should have your car.
I've always liked my Land Rover. I've always liked the next Range Rover. Like, I love cars. I'm just in cars a lot, too. Like, with working, driving around, shoots, blah, blah, blah. So, like, when I remember I got my first Land Rover, people were just like, oh, she's killing it.
Honestly, people crack me up about Land Rovers because my Land Rover is cheaper than a Jeep. My specific one.
Like, I mean, I had, like, a 2012 Chad. It was, like, a 2012.
Chad.
I loved. Chad was one of my favorite cars. He was my LR2. But I just think it's funny. I think, like, when building a business, people often think you're, like, so rich. And I, you know, I do well in the sense, like, I can support my lifestyle, but I am definitely not rolling in it yet. And I hope to one day aspire to, you know, have successful businesses that support my life in all ways. But I think people just think money rolls in when you have a business. I will say, I think there's perks like credit card points and, like, fun things like that.
Credit card
points are great. Like, I love that. I love a little, you know, whatever, keeping a shirt from a photo shoot. Nice perks. These are great things. However, it's just, I think they also think that it means freedom, right? Like, I think people think that when you have a business, oh, I want to work for myself because I want freedom. I mean, I have freedom. Tell me how you feel about this. I have freedom in the sense of, like, I can say I'm moving this meeting. I have freedom in the sense where I can say, like, I'm going to, you know, sleep a little bit more this day and start my work a little bit later.
Yeah.
I have freedom.
But we don't even do that.
But if I didn't feel good, maybe I wouldn't.
Yeah.
But I actually feel like, in a way, I have less freedom owning a business because I feel like I have this accountability to everyone around me that I get this guilt if I don't do what I have to do. So, like, I think over time, yeah, my schedule has changed with my lifestyle and that's been great, but I don't feel a sense of freedom working for myself.
I think that's a pressure I put on myself anyways. Like, I think right. Me and Sarah were just talking about this. Like, I'm going to go on vacation. I'm going to enjoy it. But, like, I don't like the thing of, like, don't bother me or don't tell me. Like, I want to know every single thing that's happening at all times. And it makes me feel better to know.
Well, I think you're absolutely embedded in your life.
Yeah, like,
in your work life.
But it's a joy. And for me, like, to even fix, like, oh, I don't know, the heater's not working, shields up, whatever, downstairs, the salon, shields up.
Like, are you saying, though, like, when you say misconception of, like, running a business or owning a business, that for you it's also the freedom of time?
Yeah, like, I think it comes with freedom of, like, okay, yeah, Rachel, for example, I'm not going to be here this day and, like, whatever.
Like, right, like, you don't, like, that's request fine. Time off. You but tell here, me.
Here's the also the thing that's funny about that is I'm doing it on the rarity basis.
Right.
Because I don't want to take advantage and B, I want to be at work.
Right.
So I'm lucky for that. Like, I know that that's a luck and I know everybody can't have that.
I think it comes with an asterisk of, like, you wouldn't abuse it.
Yeah.
So, like, freedom comes with, I wouldn't abuse my freedom.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, there's a stopping point to that. So
I think people look at freedom and they're like, oh, I can kind of do whatever I want. Or, like,
I actually think freedom's dangerous in a career.
Me too. I do too. I like the structure and I like knowing we have meetings.
Structure gives me peace in a weird way. Like, I love that. And I think people think that owning a business one day gets easy. I don't think it ever gets easy. I always feel an emotional toll of owning a business. Like, I always feel tied to my employees. I always feel tied to the outcome. I always, like, there's always a day I'm worried about money. There's always a day I'm worried about what's next. There's always a day I'm worrying. There's always something.
Yeah. I think that misconception is that the worry ends. Like, I think people think
it doesn't end.
That's a thing. It's like you make it to this certain point and it's like you're free.
I think it's a level of stress you learn to live with.
Like, and it definitely depends on the business that you're running and what you're doing. But with the ones that we have particularly, I always want to be a part of. Like,
I think even Sleepy Tie is, like, kind of like an infant brand.
Yeah,
it is. Like, it's a baby brand and it's, like, requires a lot of effort. So it looks also, I'd say, one other thing I'd say is it looks so glamorous.
Yeah.
right? Like we go to New York for a photo shoot to film a reality TV show, to film a photo shoot of like a celebrity. And it's like, well, like we're actually, we have, you packed all the equipment and like we're, you know, four girls running through New York City. And like, it's a lot of work to be on set of a shoot and like a lot of energy exchange.
You don't see that.
You, no one sees all that. So it's like, I think there's a lot of like, oh, like, I, and a lot of people think I don't work too, which I find frustrating.
It's crazy.
You know, like people come into the salon all the time and they're like, does Rachel even work anymore? And I am just shook by that question. I mean, I don't care because like, I don't need anyone to know I'm working or not or what my schedule is, but I just think it's hilarious. Like I think someone called the salon the other day and was like, just said to Sarah, like, does Rachel even work? Like, or is she just off traveling? And I was like,
imagine you're just like in Italy. We can't find you.
Yeah, I'm fucking Portofino, just like with the girls, you know, like just sipping my white wine. I think that's a funny misconception too. That just like, I don't work.
100%. Have you guys always known that you wanted to work with each other, and how did you guys start working with each other?
I don't think we knew.
No,
I didn't know. No, yeah.
I did not know.
I honestly thought I was going to be like a city corporate girly, like running my own fucking show with somebody else's business, but not Rachel's.
I either thought that I would work for a magazine. That was like always what I thought, like in New York City. Like I always saw myself like being a part of like the editor or marketing team in corporate. Or I saw myself opening like a form of a makeover business, but it never had Carly involved in the concept. Like there was never like, oh yeah, I'm going to work with my sister. The where it happened
was in Italy. My whole life changed in Italy.
Yeah. Wow. I asked Carly, I was like, do you want to work with me? And she was like, yeah, I do. I was like, well, you can't be like a little bitch ass fucking asshole. And she was like, no, I'll be mature. And I was like, okay. I was like, well, then I have books that you're going to read. And
she made me read them when all my friends were at the bar.
And
I went after.
And I made her read them. And
I love
that. She did read them. And she understood them. And she, Carly surprised me. But everybody told us not to work together. And everybody told me not to hire you, which was a big thing. They were like, you're making a huge mistake. Don't do that. Because, you know, we weren't, when we grew up together, we were friends. But I don't think we were like a little bit more oil and water.
Yeah. Like, I think, I don't know.
We weren't as close as we are now.
No.
There's no way. Like, that developed over time, like, in maturity and, like, how we grew up together. But, like, we wouldn't hang out when we were, like, younger unless, like, we were going to McDonald's and, like, driving through the graveyard with mom.
No, I think we hung out. I think it just, like, I was in my own, like...
You were younger than
yeah,
me.
Yeah, like, I was in my own, like, high school era, like, trying to make it work.
People think, too, that I think we're closer in age, like Lily and Sadie.
We're
like,
3 years.
We're 3 years apart. So, I mean, like...
We always kind of missed each other.
Yeah.
In a year.
Like, in middle school, we were only together in middle school for a year. In high school, we were only together in high school for a year. So, I mean, like, in theory, like, we were never on the same plane. When the business had started, I think I you graduated in 2015.
College?
Yeah.
I have no idea. 16 maybe?
I think I was...
I have no idea.
I had been building the business for like, I would say 4 years, then opened Beauty Parlor and RLR Studio for about a year and a half. So I was like about 5.5 years in. There were times you would come and like help me with like a photo shoot here or a photo shoot there.
No, we went to a lot of photo shoots. My brain was also very different than Rachel's. Like we had similarities, like we liked the same things, but like I saw different things.
Yeah.
So like my brain... Like, I didn't know what my place was, I think, in the businesses until I came in. And then you appreciated my brain.
I did.
So, like, I think you were like, holy shit, like, someone's thinking of that or someone's thinking of that. And then I had to understand yours.
I had something inside of me that was just sort of like, I know her more than what they're saying. And, like, I know that the things that, like, people might have judged you for.
Well, no one knew me. First of all,
no, you were known like to have like a tude like your whole life.
Yeah,
like,
I still have a tude,
but I think that people judged you.
I
for
like
that.
My tude.
No, I have no. I respected your tude and knew that like we could find a way to work together.
Yeah, I also think it's like, and I try to not do this to others who are were they. I think what it was like 23, maybe 22. Like who you are at 23 is not who you are at 30.
You were like 22.
Yeah, like I was a fucking child.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying is like just. I try to give, age is just a number to me. Like, I think it's more about the way you transform.
I definitely prefer the leaders we are now versus the leaders we were then.
Well, yeah. I mean, you learn, you grow. Like, what the fuck else are you going to do?
Yeah.
So here we are. We didn't know we were going to work together, and now it's all we know.
What's a fight that you guys have had that makes you laugh now?
Well, I mean, in our childhood, a fight that we had is...
I don't remember.
Carly would take my clothes to middle school, steal them, and then I...
Like, wear them?
She would put them in her backpack, change into my clothes at school, and then I would have an absolute meltdown, and my dad once followed Carly to school and found that she was throwing them in the dumpster.
My dad, like, thought he was, like, cool. I was like, get a life.
And, like, was like, yeah, Carly's actually throwing at your clothes. I think in our work life, like, the things we don't really fight. I have to be, like, really serious.
I'm not even just saying this. In my 5 years of working here, I've never seen you guys.
Sometimes I'm, like, annoyed, but I get annoyed. Yeah, like, nothing.
It's not never business. It's just, like, stupid sister shit.
It's never business. And even if it is stupid sister shit, it's, like, probably, like, something, like, deep-rooted where it's, like, where there's a moment happening and it's, like, okay, like, the other will just stop talking for a second and let the other person have that moment. But, like, as far as, like, fights about work or, like, work in general, like, I might make a call out and be, like, you need to do more of this or something, like, earlier in our career. And, like, that used to, like, kind of set things off. But I would say, like, towards the beginning, we would have, like, these things where it would take 24 hours for something to, like, blow over. And then we worked through it and we're, like, neither of us have time for this. So we, like, would figure out a way to
A grudge holder either. Like, I'm, like, okay. Same. Like, after the fight, I'm, like, you're a fucking bitch. But, like, I'm not. Can we move on now?
Carry on.
I don't care. I can't.
We don't have time to fight. That's really what it comes down to. I don't have time to, like, give a fuck.
Yeah.
Got it. What's a moment that you guys have been really proud of each other in your careers?
I'm proud of Carly every day. I think that I am.
That's cute.
Yeah. I think that Carly does a good job of owning her strengths. And I think she does a good job of, the biggest thing I'm proud of Carly for is her accountability. Without fail, I don't need to ask Carly to do anything. And her ability to know where she shines and to know where to let me shine, I think is an ego letdown that makes us really strong. Mm. And, like, Carly doesn't give a fuck. So, like, for that really is a helpful thing where she's never like, well, what about me? You know, if that was the...
I don't want it.
If that was the case, like, not that I always want to be, like, the shining star, like, in the spotlight.
But no, like, I like it.
But, like, our dynamic works well. Yeah. And I think that works well because of Carly. Like, I can't look at Carly and be like, you're going to have to sit down today and not be in the center of attention.
That's, you know, hard, like, for sisters too.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like you're, like, sisters are weird.
They are, for sure. And, like, I think people usually do want the spotlight or the center of the attention. So, like, I'm proud of Carly because... twofold. One, her accountability never fails, and I've never met someone more accountable in my life. And, like,
right, I'm not perfect.
You're pretty fucking accountable. I mean, like, when it comes,
I suck.
Yeah,
like, but you own that. Yesterday. You're even owning that
so
now.
So dramatic. Shut the fuck up.
It was just, like, one email.
I'm most proud of Rachel when she can, like, get in front of, like, a million people and give a speech. I think it's fucking crazy.
It is.
Like, I can't. Even when we're, like, at the state of the company and it's, like, 25 people, I'm like, how are you talking and not, like, stuttering? It's fucking crazy. Or, like, the way she can just, like, throw it on. This bitch remembers everything. Like, and honestly, it's annoying. Like, I'm like, how'd you fucking remember that? Like, whatever.
Because I think it's written in my soul.
But I also think, like, what people don't realize is, like, we're coming up with the ideas. We're having the meetings. You're, like, really doing it all. You're in the content.
Thanks,
like,
girl.
It's a lot, and she handles everything with grace.
You guys both slide.
Thanks.
Last few professional questions, then we're going to do some rapid-fire ones.
Okay, Lauren.
What's the hardest lesson you guys have had to learn in your career?
That not everyone will work out, like, at your company. Like, that not everyone wants to work for you, and that's fine. And people are on their own path, and I think – I used to get, like, really upset because I'd be connected to people or be like, how come they're not loyal to me? Or loyalty is not something everyone brings to the table. So for me, that was a tough lesson to learn, and I was able to get past it.
I'd say a similar answer. A tough lesson for me over time in my career has been that everybody has different definitions of loyalty. And I think I am naively good in a sense where like I often believe others are too.
Yeah.
And so like where I might be very kind or like very pure, others might not be. Mm. And so like it would be hard for me over time to understand that someone didn't understand that I was working really hard to make them happy.
Yeah.
And then I would be met with, they talked shit about me, or they said this behind my back, or they didn't say this behind my back when they should have said that behind my back. And I used to take that personally. Yeah. But your shell hardens over time. And I've definitely become, I would say, almost the opposite. Whereas now I kind of like watch for that because I've learned that so many times where it's just like, nothing surprises me anymore, sadly. And like, you know, I have my people I can trust for sure. But like at the end of the day, like I have people fuck you sometimes.
Yeah, I think like nobody, like knowing that nobody owes you anything is like something to always remember. I think I always thought people owed me all these things because like in my role.
I did this for them.
Yeah, like in my role, it's kind of thankless. And in Sarah's role, kind of similar where it's like we're trying to do all these things and make everyone happy, including the clients, including anyone that works here, including everything. And like then you still get like fucked. And you're like, leadership, wait, what?
Leadership is thankless.
Yeah, it is. And you have to like remember that. And I think once you learn that lesson, everything is possible.
Yeah, agreed.
I love that. If someone,
thanks Lauren,
if someone like a friend or someone that you're just having conversation with is like, and yeah, I hate my job, what would your response be?
Oh, I get that a lot. And I say, and what are you going to do about it? That's
period.
That's all I say. Like, and what are you going to do about it? One of my friends has been hating her job for the past, I don't know, maybe year. And I literally said to her the other day, I said, we will have this conversation one more time and then I will not have it again. Mm-hmm. So
I'm going to sound like a bad friend saying this, but I'm going to answer it very truthfully. Statements like that make me shut down a little as a friend. And the people I'm like having the most conversations with are usually telling me how they solved something, not what bothers them.
Your friends are also older, so they're probably like later into their career too.
No, I have friends who say that.
Who don't like their job. Yeah.
And I'm not a bad friend in the sense like where I want to accommodate that. But if the accommodation of that is constant or the complaint of that is constant, I won't continue in that conversation.
Yeah. And I think we both know too, like, again, we're super lucky in what we do and what we love to do and like that we get to work in our passion. But for me, even if I didn't have this job, I would never stay in a job I didn't like. Like I wouldn't be able to live, but our parents also instilled in us that like work is really important. And like that it,
I just think there's so many jobs. There's so many things to do. Like if you don't like what you do, or if you wake up and you have like this itch in your chest and like you wake up and it's not the vibe, like
then do something else,
reinvent it and don't wait.
Yeah.
Is the way that I feel. Or if you are stuck in a role for whatever the reason might be, which I know that that's the case for that some can happen, people, then I think you have to learn to love it,
but also get how I feel. Also get creative. Like you could do the same thing somewhere else and love it more.
Yeah.
Like you could, I don't know, have your eye and interview and like have conversations with people. I know networking sucks, but sometimes you gotta do it.
I like action.
Yeah, me too. I'm an action girl.
Like there's never a moment in the day I'm not taking action. Like if I'm like anxious, Mike and I have this saying we say to each other, he says it more than me. So I don't, he always says anxiety is trumped with action or something like that. Like anxiety is removed by action. And I really believe in that because like all day long, like any single time there's like, oh, I'm worried about packing or I'm worried about this. Like I'm going to make a list or I'm worried about, you know, this person. I'm going to write down my feelings. Like I'm always in an action
do
state.
Do something about it.
I'm never waiting. I do not wait for action. That is like a key to my life and my success. So, you know.
Love that. What's the best piece of advice that you guys have been given when it comes to your career?
Blame yourself first.
Blame yourself first.
Love that.
Without a doubt. I just think in general, blaming yourself first allows you to learn the most.
Yeah. Mm. Or like figure it out on your own and get create solutions, not problems. Like I think 99.9% of the people like to blame other people because it's easier. But have you ever actually been like, oh, this is my fault?
I would also say tackling 100% is super important. Like I'm not a 98%er. Like I don't fucks with people who 98% it. Like if you do, like I can see it and it like kind of fucking...
I can be a 98%er.
I don't like 98%.
You're just not. You don't count.
So that's fine. I don't want to count, yeah. But like, I don't like 99%ers. Got it. I don't like 90.
That's me when I'm folding my clothes in my closet.
I don't like 99.9%ers. Like, I'm giving you my all.
All right, rapid fire. So these are going to be...
I'm ready.
I feel like we've recently talked about this. Who's the worst driver?
Rachel.
Carly. Like, honestly, that question infuriates me, and I just want you to know, like, she's so wrong and so fucking stupid.
Hold on.
Oh, okay. So not rapid fire.
Hey, mom, quick question. You're actually on camera. Who is the worst girl driver that you know? Carly, can you ask? No. Answer the question.
You have to, I put them in my mouth and then take the seeds out, but you could cut the seed out.
I can't put them in my mouth because I'm allergic.
So just cut them.
Cut the seed out, mom.
This is the...
She doesn't want me to, so I'm seeing if you do.
Spoon it out in the top.
I put it in my mouth.
Okay. Just checking. I didn't even know she could eat cherries.
Yeah, she loves them.
Okay, yeah, she asked for them.
Oh, yeah, and just to confirm, who's the worst girl driver? What? Thank you.
Okay. All right. Moving on. What condiment could you not survive without?
Ketchup.
Both of you. Wow. All right. What's the what's the last thing that you Googled?
Fuck.
Oh, God. I feel like these are going to be the weirdest things ever.
How do you know?
Just go to your, like, history.
I'm going to give you the last 10 things I Googled.
Oh, okay. Check out at Alisa Johnson.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So I'm going to give you the last 10.
Okay.
Cafe Fresh phone number.
Wait, how do you see yours?
You just go here.
Just go to Google and then go to the search bar.
I don't Google on there though.
Oh, okay.
What?
You taught me that, but
where do you Google if you don't Google there?
Do you need to go to the Apple Genius bar for a ready? Class?
Modern bubble accent chair.
Okay.
In brown. Normal Kamali, just in general. Target chandelier. Barbara O'Neill migraine help. Not for me, for somebody else.
Oh, I got this.
Heated jacket.
What?
Heated jacket.
For who?
96-inch fire-rated curtains.
Hold on. I lost. All right. Mine is, what's the difference between Pilates and bar? I wanted to know. Dibs bronzer caramel, one that she just came out with.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Open farm dog food seems on brand for me. Code 9 meeting for Boston police. Newton Wellesley gynecology.
What time does TJ Maxx open?
What's builder
That's
gel?
A valid search.
What time does Nordstrom Rack open?
Oh, she was on it.
Chrissy Metz weight loss. The girl in This Is Us. I wanted to know.
What are the cross streets of the East Village?
And a
quick buttercream frosting recipe.
Mediterranean Turkish cuisine.
Cool. While you have your phones out, who was the last person that you Insta-stalked?
Chase Stokes.
I knew that was going to be your
sick
answer.
You're a sick girl.
I love him.
Gary Brecco.
Okay, moving on. Signature scent.
Oud Amber Rose.
Oh, you're not giving a specific?
Give a brand. Oh, like we the want brand? Yeah.
Makeup by Kellyanne taught me this one, but now it's Missing Person by Fleur.
Oh, that's interesting. You never told me that. I actually just bought another 13 by Le Labo, and I am absolutely tickled.
Mm. What's a current song on repeat for you guys?
Seat at the Table by Alex Morin. I can't stop listening to that song.
It's called Morning Cruising by Jackson Brait.
Mm. What's always in your bag besides like your phone, wallet, keys?
Lip liner.
Diapers and baby wipes.
If Soul Busy had a theme song, what would it be?
Release your inhibition. Feel the rain on your skin.
Give it to us.
I think it would be, hey, little mama, let me whisper in your ear. Tell you all the nasty things you like to hear.
Why would that be that?
Because it's the yin-yang twins.
No.
A beauty product you'd save in a fire?
Kosas under eye concealer.
Dr. Jart BB cream.
With that.
A brand you're obsessed with?
Kosas.
Both of you? I was just thinking.
Makeup Forever.
Who is your dream dinner party guest?
Mike.
Your husband.
No, it has to be like.
No, it has to be someone like.
Yeah, like.
Famous.
Mike.
Oh. No, no. It has to be someone famous.
I don't want to hang out with someone famous. And my answer is Mike. I don't give a fuck that they're famous. What does that make them interesting? Cool.
I don't.
What am I going to ask them?
I'm honestly having trouble answering.
Cheese Stokes.
No.
I would be scared.
This is such a weird obsession.
I love him. I love him.
Okay, okay, so you can
like,
think.
If I had to pick like a celebrity, yeah. I would say like.
Kim K.
I'd say, yeah. Oh,
Kim
like
K.
Okay.
I'd like Rick Rubin.
Oh, okay.
No, I love Kim K. I think she's all funny. Right.
What's a movie you can quote word for word?
How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
The Little Mermaid?
That's
embarrassing.
Yeah, that is embarrassing.
You should honestly right. fucking.
Weirdest food combo that you actually enjoy.
Broccoli and cheese?
Really got you.
Is that weird? Like the Green Giant broccoli and cheese?
Why is that weird?
Is that weird?
Broccoli and cheddar is a signature staple.
Mm. Okay.
It's like a weird
just
food
like
combo
that odd like that people are like, "What? You do that?"
I do like chicken and salad and like pickles.
Oh.
Like I like to put pickles in my chicken salad.
I don't think I eat weird food.
Okay. Moving on.
So fuck your question.
What is the wildest online purchase you've made?
Ooh.
It doesn't have to be expensive. It could just be like weird.
This like weird star set from TikTok. It was like a sweatshirt and pants.
Oh.
And it was like had stars on it. And actually, I don't know where it is.
Like how recent are we talking?
Are we talking recent?
Just in like general. I don't know. I want to know.
Oh.
I once ordered like white eye contacts.
Oh, for what? Halloween?
It was like for my makeup kit. And I just like thought they were cool.
Got it.
Yeah.
Maybe like the dog water bowl that like has continuous water coming from it.
Oh, you know what else I ordered recently that's super weird? Like I got into a TikTok ad for climbing roses and convinced myself that like my whole house should have climbing roses and like went into an absolute sweat tiz and like ordered a tizzy and ordered a little hand shovel and went around the perimeter of my entire house and dug up like a bunch of seeds.
Yeah, I'd say that's pretty fucking weird.
Climbing roses. And guess what? None of them worked. So yeah, like, I must have bought like $50 worth of like fake seeds.
Hilarious. If your pet could talk, what do you think that they would say about you guys?
You're the best mama that could ever exist.
Oh, wow.
Well, I mean, Harry or Mookie, which would they both. Would both say different things. Harry would say, like, I really enjoy making out with you. And thank you
no,
so much.
No, he'd say, like, why do you bring people to this house that I don't like?
Right. Yes, or exactly. 100%.
And Mookie would say,
he would also say thank you for
Mookie
saving me.
Mookie would say, could you please take me on longer walks?
Yes. I take Mookie on walks. That's so mean.
Ollie would say, could you please get me the nice treats from Polka Dot Bakery? Frankie would say, can I be the only dog in the home? And Cooper would say, could you buy me more toys?
Mookie might say, can you get rid of Harry?
Yeah, yeah, literally.
go-to coffee order.
Black iced Americano.
That is like honestly embarrassing. It's like not fun.
It's not.
I love the taste
medium
of coffee.
Iced hazelnut with half and half.
All right. Dream guest you'd have on Soul Busy.
Kim K. Sorry.
Kim K.
I love Kim K.
Slay.
Love Kim K.
Those are all the questions.
Great questions. Over and out. Great day. Actually, I need to go and get my Whole Foods honey chipotle chicken and my thick primal kitchen ranch dressing, warm it up for a minute and 30 seconds and bite into each bite delight.
Rachel tried to tell me that those chicken nuggets were baked, not fried.
I even went to the store manager to ask.
You're dumb. I'm also going to order from Mediterranean Turkish cuisine.
Oh,
she loves shout shawarma. Out to Framingham because I love their chicken shawarma. Caesar salad. I mean, they don't offer that.
They don't have that.
Yeah, so it's a Greek
salad.
You
don't even get that there.
Warren, I don't. Thanks for being a great question asker.
Well, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here and over and out.
Yeah, and 10-4.
Rock on.
Rock on, boys and girls.